Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Mafia and Carver. Hi, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Get your Rocket Mortgage on, son. Our toll-free line, 855-2124, CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So here's the deal. I'm hearing, Carver Hyde, that there's all these people talking now. I don't know if you're seeing this today, that basically he came to New York because to have an MRI, Durant, on his Achilles, and that I see this here. It's a sign of whether he still trusts Golden State's medical staff. Here's another one. He may feel it wasn't smart for the medical staff to force him back. There's all this talk. And the bottom line is this. I agree with Mitch Lawrence fully that what they're trying to do is blame somebody for this injury. And then Bob Myers took the fall on the sword last night with his whole crying act, the crying game, and I felt, you know, it's my fault, blame me, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. That guy, he practiced, right, on, what was it? When was the game? What day was it, Monday?
Monday. Practiced on Sunday.
He practiced on Sunday, and then Monday had the shoot-around and was fine. When the game started, he was jumping up and down off the bench like 15 feet in the air. I saw him do a full box jump. He jumped up in the air and gave himself full spring and full life. Then he went out, and he lit it up. He had three threes. He had 11 points in 12 minutes, and then he blew out his Achilles. You know, I hate to say it, but Shaq happens, right? It happened. I do not believe that you can blame anyone. And then, you know, he wanted to go.
You want to blame somebody, blame yourself.
So now all this talk about you got to blame the team for, you know, forcing him back. I do not believe they put a gun to his head and said, we have to have you play tonight in game five. Our season's on the line. I believe there was, you know, internal pressure maybe, but there was external pressure for sure with the national media and the fans and the social media and all this other nonsense. Forcing him to play. Like, they're nothing without him. They can't win without him. They got to have him. Are they better with or without him? All this other nonsense. And the bottom line is the guy made a decision himself with his body to play. He knew at some point they asked him, can you go? And he said, yes. I don't believe they said, listen, you're playing today, and that's all there is to it. That never happened. So he wanted to go. He went. He was on fire. And then he blew out his Achilles. There has never been one guy in the history of the NBA that predicted an Achilles tear the night it was happening that said, you know, tonight I'm going to have a great game. I'm going to have three threes and 11 points in 11 minutes. And what I'm going to do is the next step I take, I'm going to blow out my Achilles. So that's what's going to happen tonight. No one ever sees it coming. Did Kobe Bryant? Did Boogie Cousins? Did Brandon Jennings? It goes on and on and on. There's been a ton of guys that have had this injury, right? And not one of them ever predicted it. And you could not tell me that when he tore his calf that he was going to tear his Achilles. Anyone that says that's a liar and they know nothing, they're just absolutely blowing smoke in your tush. Here's the deal. The guy didn't know. He was ready to go. He was good to go. And then he wasn't. It's as simple as that. The guy tore his Achilles. The only thing that his body gave out on him, his Achilles blew out. It is what it is. You cannot blame Bob Myers. You cannot blame the Warriors, who I've heard everyone blame today from Barkley on down. Everyone wants to blame somebody for everything. You get in a wreck, everybody blames everybody. You know, people blame everybody for everything. Your kid gets sick, they blame somebody. It never ends. People just can't accept the fact that it happened. It happened. It is what it is. And that's just all there is to it.
Not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Look, I think that there has been this kind of push, you know, that you were starting to sense as the series was going on. Like, why isn't this guy playing? Maybe they should have been a little bit more, saying he's not very close than they were, because they were making it out almost every day and every step that he was close to playing, and it never happened. But he made the decision in him himself to walk on the court, right? I mean, he walked on the court. Did they shove him out there? They didn't do that. It's his decision, and I respect his decision. I know it didn't go very well for him, but I said last night, and I stick to it. He went up a notch for me last night because I don't think he had to do it. And I think that there was definitely pressure, and whether that played into it or not, he still went out there and did it. Good decision, bad decision. Clearly it ended up being a bad one. I don't blame the Warriors. It's hard to blame them. But I also don't have a problem with him going to see a different doctor. I don't have a problem with that either.
I don't have a problem with that, but it's not a reason to say it's the medical staff of the Warriors that are to blame, so right. We're going to go somewhere else. You know, sometimes you just go to a better doctor. Maybe he's got, you know, he's going to come here and find out he tore it, have the surgery here in New York, and maybe he's going to, while he's here, cut a deal with the Knicks. I mean, the bottom line is this. There's talk of that they're meeting with Kawhi Leonard when this is all said and done. The Knicks think they're getting a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. Some people believe that Kawhi Leonard and Durant want to hook up with the Knicks. You know, there's people saying that Kawhi Leonard lived here when he was rehabbing his quad in northern New Jersey with his uncle, whatever. I've heard that story. And then there's stories of Kemba Walker joining the Knicks. I've heard Julius Randle's name thrown around. I do not believe that Julius Randle is any kind of a savior for the New York Knicks. For any remote stretch of 1 year or otherwise, I would not touch him. But I think the guy, I will say this, I think he's got game for sure. I think Julius Randle's, you know, game is solid. He's a very physical pounding player that gets it done without a doubt. I like his, I thought he was fantastic in New Orleans. I'll be honest with you. I thought he got good in LA. He got way better in New Orleans. His role in New Orleans was much more defined. He was an important cog in that wheel, right? But I still don't believe the Knicks will go after Julius Randle. And then I do believe that they want to be involved in some capacity or another in those Anthony Davis talks. But I believe that he's going to the Lakers. I believe he is going to the Lakers. Now, I don't believe for 1 minute that the Clippers are going to be left out of this thing when it comes to free agency, because it's a destination. And the owner's just a filthy billionaire who spends tons of money. Guys know they can get rich playing for Ballmer, right? So someone's going to the Clippers. Somebody's going to play for the Clippers. It might very well be Kawhi Leonard. Fair enough? I'm not sure why the Miami Heat would want Chris Paul's fat deal, because his game's kind of washed too. You can't deny it. He's not the same player he was. So you can talk about any of these things. And game six, can they win? I have my reservations. I really do. I think the scoring is coming from six deep on the Raptors, and the scoring for the Warriors is 2 to 3 deep at best. It's Curry, Thompson, and at best, one other guy, whether it's Cousins or whoever. I have zero faith anymore at all in Iguodala. He is a disaster right now. His jumper is heavy. I mean, you can't even deny it. He was laying bricks in that game the other night. So Draymond Green, I can live with. Draymond Green needs another 10-10-12 game. He needs a triple-double type game in game six. They got to get a triple-double, I believe, from him. He knows it. And he can't get another technical. He'll be suspended for game seven. He has to keep his head. And they got to get Curry and Thompson both in the 30s to win this game. Otherwise, I think they're losing. Michael in Jersey, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, how are you?
Hey, man.
Good. Do you think because of this whole KD injury, KD is going to force the Warriors to sign up for the Max?
Well, no. I think that he could stay there for whatever it is. His option is a player option at $31.5 million, whatever. So that's all he would get there, to stay for one more year and deal with their medical staff. I mean, why... I believe, why would you do that if you've already kind of, the facts are these, that the rumor is he's already made up his mind that he's leaving, right? That people believe that he's already got a wink-wink deal to go play for the Knicks or whatever. I don't necessarily believe that he's already made up his mind and it's a done deal and it's already, you know, been put in an envelope and signed. I don't believe any of that, but I do think that the best deal for him is the most money is the Knicks. And he can go anywhere else, too, and get more money. I'm not a big fan of, to be honest with you, I mean, like, this is a business, right? It's a ruthless business. So anyone that's willing to take way less money to do a deal, to me, is really, you know, not that smart. I mean, why would you turn down all that free money? I mean, and it is money that will take care of your family for literally till they're dead and their kids are dead and their kids are dead. I mean, this guy will make literally, what's he going to make, $500 million playing basketball? So, believe me, you, I don't believe for 1 minute that Kevin Durant isn't licking his lips over money. I've never met a guy yet, to be honest with you, I've said this 5 billion times, never met a guy yet that's in pro sports that isn't in it for the money. I've never met one. They're all lying that when they tell you they're not. It's not about the money. It's always about the money. It's always about the money. Always. There's no such thing as, you know, the only guy ever that I ever saw in my life that turned down money is Tom Brady, because he does these deals so that they can have all this cap room to get other players. And the reason he can afford to do that is because he's already got hundreds of millions of dollars. When you have that much money, you don't even care about $5 million. It's like going out to lunch.
And when your wife's worth billions.
She's worth way more than he is. I mean, literally, that guy will never need anything ever. He'll never be without, okay? So when you make that much money, you just don't even care anymore about money. Honestly, like, once you have all that money, you're just like, what do I care?
Get back to the guy who first started playing this game. Remember way back when you were a kid? It wasn't just about the money, was it? Was it? Was it?
Travis in Ohio.
Hey, Pharrell.
Hey, dude.
Yeah, I don't Durant's injury. I don't think he should get a max deal. I don't think.
I can't understand a word you're saying, bro. Honestly, all right. I love you. Call back, bro, with a, you know, maybe the line will work better the second time. 8. What? 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. 855-212-4227. By the way, hoops, you got game 6 on Thursday, hockey game 7 tomorrow night. What to do? Pounce on baseball every game, every play, every day. Even MMA and boxing, we kill it. We're number one. PharrellOnTheBench.com, the best picks, the best price, buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com is hot. Sign up today. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. All right. So a lot of players reacted. Dwayne Wade, even with all the things KD has done, this is the most fanned out I've been. He knew he wasn't right, but he wanted to be there for his brothers. That's sports. That's love. Kevin Love said, I hate to see that, Shaq. Trey Young said, major respect for KD. Wanted to rush back and help his team win a championship. Get healthy, bro. Victor Oladipo, prayers up to the big bro, KD. God got you. Marvin Bagley, praying for you 100% of the time. Enos Kanter, get well, brother. Mad respect. Nurkic, the guy that got hurt in Portland, he's sending out prayers. Embiid, he was ripping the Toronto fans that they were disgusting for cheering the guy's injury. And, you know, you name it. Everybody in the league praying for KD. I think he's, you know, he's going to be fine. I think it's going to, you know, cost him a year of his life to rehab it and get back, and it's just a nightmare is what it is. That's no fun at all. I don't think, you saw Boogie go through it, right? Did he look like he was having fun? Nobody has fun going through that. Mike in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Pharrell? Can I get a double shot of Jameson?
Double J-Mo. Check out.
Yeah, man. And what it was ridiculously great game last night. And I don't think there's any chance. Well, I mean, there's, of course, a chance. But I don't think the Warriors have a very good chance going back home the way Toronto's played there, the way that the refs kind of set off quieting Oracle. But I had a question about the offseason a little bit. You were kind of dipping into it. So do you think that the Lakers are going to end up with a player this year, or are they going to have to wait on Anthony Davis? Like, how is this going to work? Because he's got one more year left. Are they gonna get a deal done, or is this going to stretch out for a year? What's going
to
happen there?
Well, I think it boils down to the Lakers and the Celtics. I think he'll go to the Lakers. I think he'll go this year to the Lakers. I think that Griffin wants to do a deal. I'm not sure he's going to get his way with the whole three-team being a part of the deal, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people feel like the Lakers are a clear-cut favorite to get him. I think that's where he wants to play. Rich Paul's his agent, LeBron's guy. It all makes sense, doesn't it? So I think that's what's going to happen. He's not waiting a year. He's not staying in New Orleans for a year. That's not happening. I think you'll see him moved to Los Angeles somehow, some way. And then I would say the fallout plan would be Boston. I think that Danny Ainge, I would agree with Bob Ryan, and he's very aggressive. And I feel that there's no way that guy, of all people, you know, he's real intense, you know, dropping with heart attacks, everything else. This guy's intense. He will go out and fix that Celtic team, right? There is no way that guy's leaving that team without Kyrie Irving naked at the altar. There is no way. So he's going to do something. And, you know, I believe that Boston fans, you know, they want talent for sure, right? They want guys that can fill it up and score like Kyrie Irving. But what I really think they want is to be badass, right? You know what I mean? Like, I think they want to be tough, physical, aggressive, you know, ultra alpha male defense, like, you know, smart plays, ruthless, physical play. I think that's who they are. I mean, they got all these guys that Morris and Baines and all the and Smart, these physical guys. I think that's what they like, right? They got all these guys that bang, Tice, all of them. And then they've got Kyrie Irving that does all the scoring, right? And Tatum and Brown and Rozier. I think Rozier's toast there because he started going off on them, right? He didn't like the way things are being run. So all you got to do is open your mouth and tell everybody how bad it is there, and that'll be the end of you. So I think he's probably out, and Kyrie's out. So he's going to fix that. Now, I could see a guy like Julius Randle going there. I really could. I mean, he is, believe me, you go straight to the rack, and that guy loves physical play. I mean, he's a banger. That's just all there is to it. He wants to rock. He'll bang right in your face, and he'll chest bump. He'll do whatever it takes. He's an and-one city. I mean, this guy will fill it up. There's no doubt. Now, I don't know if that's the, you know, they're, you know, certainly prized possession. I don't think that's what they're after. I think that they would rather have Anthony Davis. How aggressive is he going to be knowing that Kyrie's going to leave? I think that it's pretty obvious. You know, I don't know. Tatum, the Memphis pick would be off the table for, you know, deals. And then would Boston offer Smart, Brown, first-round picks in the June draft coming up here in a few weeks? You know, Al Horford, of course, if he opts into his contract with the Celtics, taken back. Blah, blah, blah. Solomon Hill to make the money work. I just don't believe that will be the case. I think Horford will stay there. I think they love Horford, right? I think they need somebody. There's no way you can tell me you can lose Kyrie Irving and expect to be better. You're not, you know, they've got to do something about those holes. Michael in Toronto.
Hey, what's up, Pharrell?
Hey.
You know, I just wanted to bring up something about KD that I found really interesting, and I feel like a lot of people really haven't highlighted. I mean, when you look back last week before game four on Friday night, it was reported that KD tried to practice, and it went very, very poorly. And everyone around, all management, trainers, even KD himself, was very discouraged. Tell me how, though, 2 days later, the man is all of a sudden cleared to play. I just, something smells there. I don't know, like, who pressured who, or maybe KD pressured himself because he cares so much what people think about him. But I just find it very odd that 2 days prior, the report was that it went poorly. And then 2 days later, oh, he's cleared to go. Like, that just doesn't compute with me.
Well, I could see that. I could see that being problematic or of concern to you. I do not believe there's a conspiracy here. I don't believe there's some dirty stuff going on here. I don't believe that they set him up. I don't believe that they forced him to play. I don't believe that they gave him an ultimatum. I don't believe, you know, that there's – it's not out of the realm of possibility that a guy could have a bad calf and then 2 days later, after treatment, he could play. Now, Mafia, I had, you know, I tore my back and I had treatment for like 4 straight days, right? And then I was able to get out there and play. I've seen guys tear their calves before and they pull up lame on a Saturday and then by Wednesday they're playing after, you know, stem, laser, and deep tissue therapy, ART therapy. They do all this deep muscle rejuvenation, deep muscle tissue work where they get deep inside the muscle and torture you. But in those, like 2 or 3 days, a guy can come back and play. It's legit. It happens. So I don't believe in any conspiracy whatsoever with Kevin Durant. Let's not make this political. Let's not make this a lawsuit. Let's not make this blame. It is what it is. I don't know how clear I can be. This guy went out. He was lighting it up. He felt good. He had it all going. It was all in place. And then in 1 second, it tore. What do you think? Injuries give you a phone call before they come and warn you? Hey, listen, I just thought I'd let you know you're about to tear your hamstring. Don't do it. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. Injuries happen in the moment when you least expect it. You have no idea when it's going to happen. And when it happens, then what now in this day and age, we're going to blame? Who are we going to blame? You're going to blame the GM? Going to blame the doctors? You're going to blame the trainers? You're going to blame the city? You're going to blame the airline? You're going to blame the food? You're going to blame the hotel? You're going to blame the Raptors? I mean, they're blaming the fans for booing him or cheering when he got hurt. I mean, it's all ridiculous. Like, no one sees it coming when they get injured. No one sees their knee blow out when it's about to happen. You think anyone, like, do you think Garoppolo knew he was going to run down the sideline, his knee was going to blow out? No one knows when they're about to get injured. If they did, no one would ever get injured. If you could stop injuries from happening 30 seconds and got a phone call saying you're about to get injured, don't do it. Boy, wouldn't that be nice for pro sports? That's not the way the world works.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS, 4227 to get on the bench. Dave in New Hampshire, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make one point. I noticed something in the game the other night when, like, towards the beginning of the second quarter, he looked really tired. He looked gassed. He was playing good, but he looked really gassed. And I was thinking, you know, that might have had something to do with it. You know, of course, you don't know it's that kind of an injury, but when you're kind of really tired, maybe, you know, not in 100% shape, that can have an effect.
Well, look, I think that he had a month off of rehab and everything after this injury. So half of it was, I'd say 3/4 of it were spent in PT getting, you know, therapy for it. And then, you know, the other week was trying to get back on the floor. So I don't think it was like, you know, he fell off the face of the earth and became out of shape and lost his cardio and had no game and no rhythm. I would think, you know, it has some effect on you for sure, missing a month and not playing every day. Because, like, so I play, right? And I have, and I'm old, I'm 53, but I still play with, you know, 18 to 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, whatever. There's not a whole lot of guys that I play with that are in, you know, my age. So here's the deal. When I'm playing, I played the other day with a guy that I knew had never played, right? So Mafia and I play a lot. We know when some guy walks on the floor and thinks he can walk into our, you know, gym where we play, and Mafia will back me up on this. There's no way you can just walk on the floor and think you're going to run with these players that play every day. So when you play all the time, you're in basketball shape. You breathe differently. You run differently. You can play for 2 hours. When you are out of shape and have no basketball rhythm and no cardio for playing the game, you breathe like a horse. And you bend over and grab your shorts, and you are literally, You're going to, like, keel over and die. That's how bad you feel. Mafia, am I wrong? The guy that played with us this weekend, the fat guy that walked on the court, he thought he could run with us. He thought he was going to bang and get shots off, and he's going to walk in and play in his running shoes. What happens every time? 100%.
They're gassed. They're dead within, game.
One game, they're done, and we're running right past them and shooting layups. So I don't believe that Kevin Durant lost his full cardio, his full game. This is an NBA primed superstar athlete who's, in the prime of his career. I don't believe that that guy lost his shape or his rhythm or his game or his shot or his cardio. And I don't agree with you that he was tired in the second quarter. I believe the guy went to do a crossover dribble move, and he went and he planted and his Achilles tore, and that was it. Boom, out go the lights. That's it. I've said this 50 million times. If everyone knew when there was going to be an injury, no one would ever get injured. And then people wouldn't get rich off of it. There's doctors, trainers, PT. They all make money. Everybody's, they love injuries. You know why? Because people just keep making money. Chiropractor, they're all going to fix you. Acupuncturist. You remember when I hurt my back, they made me do acupuncture how many times? Five? And what did that do for me other than the sensation of having some chick put needles in me?
Didn't do a damn thing.
Did nothing. So everybody's making money. I'm sure they racked up my insurance company. You need to come five times. They're all full of shack. And it's so they can all just keep making money. Injuries are, it's big business. It is big business. I didn't see that. Now, I don't know about you, Mafia. You were watching a game last night. Did he look gassed to you? He looked like he was on fire.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was dragging or gassed. I think it was just that. You made that move, and it just didn't work out for him.
Boom.
Even when you see the slow-motion video, you just see it pop and roll. I mean, he made that crossover. He was ready to make the burst, and the second he put that pressure on to push off on that leg, it just gave.
So what do you think of all the people like Draymond Green saying it's bullshack? I won a championship. I know how it feels. It's a great experience. But you don't cheer when someone goes down to injury. That's classless. And Boogie said that's some trashy-ass Shaq Diesel. Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka had to calm him down. That's bogus. I think everybody's emotions were running high last night, and players were like, they're classless, this and that, and all the rest. I would agree that it was only a portion of the crowd that was doing it. It's not everyone. It happens. Carver High put it best. It happens all the time, and now suddenly this is the flavor of the day. I mean, it happened in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. If it happens, tomorrow in Game 7 of the hockey, they'll cheer if some guy gets hurt. I mean, it happens every time. So it's no big deal. Fans hate the other team. They hate their players. They hate everything about them. They want to beat them. So people are crazy. And in sports nowadays, people are nuts, and they behave poorly, and especially when they're liquored up. And let's face facts. When you go to the NBA Finals and you're at a party like that, and the tickets are as expensive as they are to go to a game like that or to the Super Bowl or to, the Stanley Cup. I'm not saying everybody does it, but a lot of people, as get hammered. They go to the game, and it's a party. The whole night, they're drinking and they're eating. Am I wrong? People just eat and drink and party and get high, and that's just all there is to it. And once you're lit, let's face facts, stupid is as stupid does. When you get drunk, you're not yourself. You're drunk, and you start acting like an idiot. You start screaming, yelling, getting loud, talking fast. It's inevitable. And when you go to a sporting event and you're hostile and you're screaming at the players on the other team and wanting them to miss and, you suck and all the rest, and you're drunk and you're drinking and you're crazy, I mean, who wouldn't cheer if some player gets hurt? I mean, they all do it. It happens all the time. Everybody needs to get over it, okay? Like, this whole blame Toronto for cheering thing has gone on long enough, hasn't it? Like, was that not the flavor last night that the Kool-Aid we were drinking? Last night it was, like, a big deal that they were cheering that he got hurt. I thought it was terrible in the moment, but, like, today, a night later, 24 hours later, I could care less. Jason in Niagara.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, a fan is fanatic, right? So, like, when stuff like that happens, maybe some were cheering the injury, but I think of the fact that Kevin Durant wasn't playing anymore in the game. We had a better chance to win. Could be cheering like that way, too, right?
Well, that's true, but you didn't win, so.
No, but I think it's still going seven. I don't know about if we're going to win in Oracle. I think it's going to be tough there. Hopefully we can get Draymond off his game and maybe get another technical for game seven.
I don't even know why it's going to be tough, because I got to be honest with you. I think they have
shooting like that.
Well, listen, really, I just don't believe that they have depth. I just am not buying the Warriors' depth or bench at all, and I don't like it, and I think they're in big trouble. I don't see them. I got to tell you, I just don't see them winning these games, and either one of them. If they play tomorrow or whatever, Thursday night, I still don't believe in them Thursday night. And then in game seven, I believe in them even less. I really do. Because, Toronto, you have to remember, they had that game one last night. They really did. They were up six. Do you remember? And they gave them Thompson and a Curry back-to-back threes, right? Am I wrong? And so they, in absolute no time left crunch, crunch city, right? No time left for error. Not one mistake. One mistake, you lose. The Warriors made no mistakes, and they won in spite of the three stooges. I thought, you know, anyone that watched that game last night and can sit here and tell me that the refs didn't give Toronto every single Pharrell and call in the second half, then you're a liar. You're just a liar. They got every single call the entire second half. Now, I don't know about the whole game. I know they shot their 30 free throws, whatever it was. But I thought the refs were corrupt. I thought they were terrible. And so what I think will happen is in game seven, they're going to do the same thing to them. They'll get every call, and this time they'll have the lead in the fourth, and they'll bury them. That'll be it. There's no way I believe that broken-down team with all their injuries and all their problems is going to win two more games when they can barely beat them. They can barely beat them. You have to understand. I thought that in the game two, they should have never won that game. But they got that 20-0 run. That was it. It was lights out. I literally think Toronto played better in every single game except maybe game five. And the reason they won game five was because Durant gave them the 11. Cousins finally came out of his stupor and put in a 14 spot and some very violent rebounds, I thought, that were very good. I thought his rim call was bad. I thought that was a bad call. I did not think that was a rim violation. I thought, literally, and I say it again, they got every call. Every call. There was not one call that went the Warriors' way the entire second half of that game. So, I said this last night. I'll say it again. Tomorrow night, whatever it is, Thursday night, they deserve 20, at least 20 calls, 20 calls better than Toronto. 20. Because I saw 20 crappy calls from them crap-ass refs. So let's even it out, okay? Give the Warriors all the calls Thursday night. Let's see if they can win the game, because I don't even think they can win the game. And then on Sunday, I still think they get their ass beat. Sunday's not going to go well for them if they make it to Father's Day. If they win that game six, which they could very well do. But I don't even have faith in them to win that game. Do you, Carver High? Seriously.
Thursday night?
Yeah.
I think they're going to win Thursday.
So the Warriors are going to win. You heard it here. Mafia, who wins Thursday night?
I think Toronto's going to find a way. I just don't think the Warriors are good enough without Kevin Durant. We've seen that you've talked about it. It's just Klay and Curry, and then it's anyone's guess after that. Draymond's been hesitant. You have Boogie not being the same player he was before
terrible.
The injury. Iggy just hasn't been anywhere near what he was in past years for them in the finals.
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's those guys are nothing right now.
All right. Amar in Toronto.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, dude.
I agree with a lot of the stuff that you were talking about, Durant giving them those 11 points. I think that they are going to win at home. They're not going to go out taking an L in the Oracle, the final.
They lost to both games to Toronto. They beat their ass in both of those games. What does that arena have to do? They have already wiped out that arena myth that they don't lose at home. Dude, they lost both games.
They're gonna get the calls, like you said.
They might get the calls. That's the only way they stay in that game, if you ask me. Because I've never seen anything like it. You gotta make it fair. Just make it even. Make all the bad calls on one end. You gotta make them on the other. And what I saw in that game in Toronto was one-sided calls the entire second half. I mean, it was like unbelievable. You can't even argue with it. You can't even argue it. They got every single break, every single call, every single whistle, every single review, everything went their way. They reviewed plays, and they still made it corrupt, the decision. Like, everyone in the world saw the call was wrong, and they still didn't rectify it. They got everything go their way. I think it's their turn to get shafted. I think Toronto deserves to be shafted by the refs for at least one half, which is third and fourth quarter of game six, because that's what I saw. I saw a crappy job by the NBA refs. Those three hacks that did that game shouldn't be allowed near the court for game six or seven, because those three are the worst I've ever seen in my life. I still think Toronto wins the game. So you crybabies up there can think whatever you want. I still think you're going to win. I still think you're the better team. I really do.
In terms of Kevin Durant, I think his agent's he has to be one of the dumbest guys to actually allow his client to go through with something like that.
What do you mean? His agent's to blame for him playing?
Bro, you have to make the best decision for your client. You have to tell the doctors, like, hey, you can't clear this guy. You have to.
Yeah, I actually don't believe agents get involved in the day-to-day, he's not playing tonight decision. I think it's training staff, doctors, and coach and player. Those guys cut deals. I don't think they're doing medical decisions. They do contracts. They're money guys. They're not health guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.